Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Okay. Today we'll talk about bid'ah. Bid'ah means innovations. Innovations. I'm coming to detail more about innovation, okay, in a second. So not every innovation is bid'ah. Okay? Not every innovation is bid'ah.
Astrologically.
So bid'ah, okay? For example, I'll tell you one bid'ah. Everybody prays like that, right?
Yeah.
Puts his hand here. If I decide to put my hand here during the prayer, this is bid'ah or not bid'ah?
No.
I decided to pray like that. Put my hands here.
That's
not. Yes. Is that a bid'ah?
Yeah.
Yes. Why is that? Because it's called al-ibadat tawqifiyya, meaning that the ways we worship Allah is prescribed. The way to worship Allah is prescribed. So, Prophet said, pray similar way I pray. Okay? And then he prays. The Quran doesn't tell you how to pray, right? The Quran doesn't tell you that you have five prayers.
No.
It doesn't?
No.
So wait,
and does not describe the window for the prayers.
So why would you pray five prayers?
This is the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's part of the sunnah or the teachings. Prophet Muhammad is the actions, whatever he does or approves or rejects. Okay? So, what if I pray like this? Is this acceptable?
No.
Instead of doing this one? This particular one is acceptable. Why? Because the Prophet made it, did it once or twice. Okay?
Oh, like the different,
different schools.
So, I can just pray like that?
Yeah. You know, you don't want to be doing whatever the minority does. You need to do something that the majority does. Because, you know, just don't follow the minority in Islam, like the people who does pray like that. Now, Imam Ahmad also used to pray like that because he was tortured so bad, they were pulling his arms away from his body, okay, and he could not do like this anymore.
What happened?
They fractured
his.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be able to do this. He would have to pray like that.
That's upsetting.
The story is coming. Who and why? The story is coming. Okay, there are two kinds: bid'ah and dina.
I have to do the notes. Okay.
There are two kinds of bid'ah. I'm sorry, there are two kinds of differences. There are legal differences and illegal differences. Means that some of the differences are legal. Means it's okay. There's no harm, right? What's your name?
Hasina.
Okay? And some of the other differences are rejected. How can you tell? Think with me. How can I say this is legal, acceptable difference, and this is not legal, not acceptable difference? If the scholars have disagreement among themselves about an issue, and you select one opinion over another, one madhab over another, okay, then these differences are legal differences. Let's say you are Shafi'i and I am Hanbali. We have differences? Yeah, we have differences. Are they legal differences? Yes. Okay. If we... what generates the difference? What generates the madhahib? Is that... Remember that Prophet Muhammad instructed his companions not to write the hadith when he's alive. The sunnah when he's alive. He said, don't write any hadith. Why? Huh? He was afraid they would mix with the Quran. so worried. So he said, don't write other than the Quran now. Let's do the teachings later. Allah really, during the first century, dedicated Imam Bukhari to gather all the hadith of the prophets in a way that we will talk about later, inshallah. But let's say someone, I'll give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rushing into fighting the Bani Qurayza. Fighting Bani Qurayza. So he, in order to rush people, he said, do not pray Dhuhr, do not pray Asr, okay? Except in Bani Hur and Bani Qurayza. So he said, don't pray Asr except in Bani Qurayza. So people were divided. The first category of people, they said, okay, we are not going to, the first category of people, they said, okay, the Prophet meant, hurry up. He meant to rush. So what they did, they prayed Dhuhr, okay? They prayed Asr in the way. They prayed Maghrib, okay? And then they arrived and prayed the Isha with the Prophet. So did they skip Asr? No. So what was their understanding based on that? What was the understanding? How did the understanding was that the Prophet said, do not pray Asr unless you are in Bani Qurayza, means, hurry up. Right? So they understood it this way, so they prayed Asr in the trip, because the trip takes all the way to Isha. Okay? Now, the other category of people said, took it literally, they said, Allah, the Prophet told us not to pray Asr unless we are in Bani Qurayza, and we're going to do that. So they started the trip after Dhuhr. When Asr comes, they skipped Asr. And then when Maghrib, they prayed Maghrib, and then they prayed Isha with the Prophet, and then both talked to the Prophet. They said, which one's right? The Prophet said, both of you. Both of you are right. See, he approved both messages, both understandings. Because it comes, what makes the difference is the understanding, the differences of understanding. Okay? If I view things, we all view things differently. For example, is this a blue color?
Oh, it's like the dress thing.
The dress. Oh my god.
It's actually blue and black.
I know, it actually
it is. Really is this a blue color? Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, how could you see it?
No, let's not talk about the dress.
But how can you see it as blue?
One ugly dress.
It really is.
I know.
How can you tell for sure that this is blue?
Because I see it blue.
Okay, you, it's for you blue, but for me, should it be blue also?
Yes.
So,
no.
It depends, hold on, it depends on the perception of the people. I see it view. Everybody sees things from his or her perspective, from her perspective, okay? So, like the dress, yeah. I don't know what the dress is.
It's okay, so
there's this dress that some girl posted, and she was like, oh, is this blue or black or white and gold? And then, like, you look at it, and it looks white and gold, but it's actually blue and black.
No, it looks blue and black.
It looks white and black. No, it does. It looks white and gold.
It looks blue and black.
No, if you look at the post on Instagram or Tumblr, it looks white and gold.
No, I
look at
the
But if you look at the actual website with the actual dress, or if you see a girl wearing the dress,
they wash it out.
No, I mean,
they
no,
wash
I
it
look.
Out. If you look at the background, you can tell from the background too. From the background,
it's because of the filter and the lighting.
I know. I saw. No, I saw the actual picture.
I'll show you the actual picture.
So they rushed. No, they prayed Asr on the way. Those one took literally and did not pray Asr until they arrived. Yes, so you guys all got excited about that?
See, look at the dress. How do you not see white and gold right here? Look, this is how it actually is, but you look at it like that.
I look at this one and I see blue and black. I look at that one and I see blue and black. I look at that one and I see blue and black.
Seriously?
I see blue and black in all of them.
Me too, How do you see blue and black on all of them?
Are you guys?
Are you for sure? Look, the dress is blue and black, I admit it, but it looks white and gold on those two pictures.
It just depends on how you see it.
Yeah,
it looks blue and black in all of them.
My car, is red in the morning, brown in the evening.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
well,
black in the
color-changing car.
The car is red in the morning, and at night it's brown.
Oh, you mean like because
of the
light? Because
your eyes get tired, I guess.
No. Anybody who can see it, it's really brown.
Yeah.
And then the way we can confirm that this is blue is by surveying people. Say, okay, what is this color? Blue. How about you? Blue. How about you? Blue. If we have a large number of people agreeing that this is blue, then it is the fact it is blue.
Wow, that's blue, black, and white.
So, see these differences?
Is it blue or black or white and gold?
Yeah, you see these differences? These differences means that you are all looking from point of view. So is the companions and the leaders of the founders of Madhab. They looked at things from different views. And at the same time, they didn't all get the hadith, the same hadith. I'll give you an example. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the adhan, okay? The adhan using Hanafi madhab is what? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the iqama is also Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is madhab Hanafi. All other madhahib is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Okay, I'm sorry about the iqama. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So, madhab Hanafi does read Allahu Akbar. Huh? Four times. Allahu Akbar four times. Okay? During Iqama. Four times during Iqama. In the other madhabs, it is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is four times. Four times during Iqama. Why is that difference? Because it happened in different ways. Okay? The Prophet did it, approved it in both ways. So the ones who saw it that way gave their opinion, and the one who saw it the other way gave their opinion. You got that? So that's a legal difference. So any difference between the school of thoughts is a legal difference.
Legal
difference. Oh, approved. There is no problem about it. It's not bad. Okay? The bad difference is that when instead of praying this, I pray that. Or instead of praying five times a day, I pray three. Or, you know, any. Because al-ibadat is tawqifiyya. Meaning what? The way we worship Allah has been prescribed. Pre-prescribed. Okay? By the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no way I can go about this. There is also other differences coming from the hadith, the completeness of the hadith. You know, when people narrate hadith, sometimes they narrate the whole hadith and sometimes they don't. So, for example, you know, remember there are two schools about reading al-Fatiha? You know, when you're following an imam, and the imam is reading what? Silently, right? Is reading loudly, okay? And then before he reads the surah, after finishing surah al-Fatiha, before he moves to the surah that follows, he stays quiet. So, Alhamdulillah wa ladhalin. Okay? You got that part? So, some imams will wait after that for 5 minutes before starting the second surah. For a couple of minutes, for like 1 minute. To give a chance to the followers to say Fatiha. Okay? That's one opinion in the school of thought. Another school of thought says the imam reading, okay, substitute your reading. So you don't have to read the Fatiha. So how is that difference? Why was it created? There is one hadith that says that no prayer without al-fatih. No prayer without al-fatih. One hadith says no prayer without al-fatih. No prayer without al-fatih. The other hadith says no prayer without al-fatiha unless you're following an imam. You see? Did you get it? So one says read al-fatiha. Huh? The one says everyone has to read Fatiha. So the imam pauses for a minute after praying Fatiha to give you a chance, to give the followers a chance to read what? Fatiha. The other alternative is that you don't read Fatiha because the reading of the imam substitutes for reading, for your reading Fatiha. So this other school of thought does it. Waladdalin. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allah doesn't stop. Doesn't leave a gap for you to recite it. Okay? Now, which one is right? It's both are right because it is a difference between madah. However, there's a strong opinion among scholars that the more likely the way, which is the more likely accepted way, is that you don't read al-Fatiha.
Yeah.
You don't read al-Fatiha, whatever the imam read, it substitutes your reading. Go ahead. From the other madhab, the madhab that, you know, scholars of every madhab, or founders of every madhab. So one founder... Where is the hadith?
Here.
Okay. One hadith say no prayer without al-Fatiha. The other hadith, no prayer without al-Fatiha unless with an imam. Unless with an imam. So imam reading substitutes for you reading. Why? Think logically. Think logically of scenario. If I entered the masjid and started praying, okay, when the imam is saying the second surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ, what will happen?
You're supposed to join.
Supposed to join. Did you read al-Fatiha?
No.
No. Even if the imam is about to make ruku'ah, or if the imam is making ruku'ah, remember that you missed the rak'ah, what's the criteria based on which you know you missed the rak'ah or not?
You have to do it after the prayer is done.
No. If you join the imam before leaving, before moving out of the this position, okay, then you caught the rak'ah. Then you caught the rak'ah. You understand about that?
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay, I thought you were talking about something else.
So I'm saying, what is the marker that shows that? The marker that shows that you've missed the rak'ah or not.
When they go to...
Hold on.
When they're going down.
So, what's the point exactly? When the imam says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدًا. Once that's, before that, this scene means that you missed the rak'ah. You got it?
Yeah.
So, if the imam gets up from ruku'ah, while he was going up, that means that you missed the rak'ah. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you come when the imam is making like this, and then stands up, did you miss the rak'ah?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. When the imam is doing like this, I'm sorry.
No.
Did you miss the rak'ah?
No.
Did you read the Fatiha?
No.
No. How can your prayer be then correct without reading the Fatiha? If you only believe in this. If you only count on this hadith, okay? You see here logically that the first hadith is not complete, is incomplete, and the second hadith is complete because no prayer without Fatiha unless you're following an imam. Here, no prayers after Fatiha, no prayers without Fatiha, period. That's the difference. Another formal difference, formal means acceptable, okay, not bad, okay, good, is that if you say, if an imam says, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, what are you supposed to say?
Ameen.
Do you say it loudly?
Not everyone.
Not everyone. Followers of the Hanafi madhab, they say it not loudly. Other than scholars from other schools, they say it behind the imam. Ameen. So if you pray with brothers from Pakistan or brother from Bangladesh, for example, they are following the madhab al-Hanafi, so that's why they don't say ameen loudly. Do you?
No.
Do you?
No.
Well, if I want to.
All the people from that area, India, Pakistan, got affected by this madhab.
My family is from Pakistan, but they say it loudly.
They say it loudly? Then they are not following the strict Hanafi madhab. Huh? I don't think so. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think so.
Like, majority is
Hanifa. No. People who Imam Abu Hanifa taught this area of the Muslim world, which is India, Pakistan, Afghanistan. So that's why mostly, you know, the majority of the people are following Hanafi madhab. Okay? So. From that area, majority. And from other areas, not a majority. Okay? Now, so you can see how the logic will come to you see how the logic?
Yeah.
Okay. The logic will go here, makes this logical, and here makes things illogical. Okay. Okay, so now about worshiping Allah, making dhikr. Some people, which are, I call them goofy Sufi.
Why?
When they, I tell you why, because they goof a lot in the prayer and the religion. So they make dhikr like this together. Allah hay, Allah hay, la ilaha illallah. Allah hay, Allah hay, la ilaha illallah. And it became widely spread in the Muslim world between Sufis. Allah hay, Allah hay. Now, this is bid'ah. Why? Just think of it. The Prophet is here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is on the right. And Umar is on the left.
Does that seem illegal or
illogical? I'm sorry, I'm so short, I can't. The
stable,
this chair. Now I shall write it
nicely.
It's illogical.
Yeah. So here what happens. Just imagine the Prophet Muhammad is sitting in the middle, and the Prophet Muhammad is saying, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq on the right saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, Wahidu. Wahidu, wahidu. Exactly. That's a bid'ah. That's an invention. Neither the Prophet nor his followers did that. This is a brand new invented by Sufi.
Sufism also kind of invented?
Yes, but we're not talking about Sufism. We're talking about goofy Sufis. The ones that the goof. Now, this totally invented. Now, what is so bad about bid'ah? Think of it. What is so bad about it?
You're not supposed to change Islam.
Oh, it misleads people. Not only that, but also it will always divide people. Why?
Because
there is a bid'ah and no bid'ah. Okay? So you have to choose. Some people who choose bid'ah and some people who choose what? Not bid'ah. About an issue. Then comes the next issue. Okay? Like, let me draw that.
Okay.
So, See this diagram? This is one bid'ah. This is one decision. Some people will say yes, some people will say no. And then the people who said yes, it comes another decision, and they say yes, and then the others will say no. You got it? So we keep selecting between bid'ah and innovation and non-innovation. People go, okay, yes. So at the end, we'll have a mess. We'll have all these branches. You see? All these branches.
Christianity is?
So, huh?
Is that how Christianity is?
Exactly. Christianity ended up this way. So if you ask our Christian fellows, say, how do you pray? How do you pray to God? They don't have a formal way to pray. So every church has its own way. Singing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from way above. You know, I have seen it. I've attended church services, and that's what I have seen. And that's not the way to worship Allah. That's not the way to worship Allah.
Huh?
Closest to Islam or closest to the original? Some forms of Christianity believe in one God.
No, but like, which one is the closest to the
original? Yes, some branches of Christianity believe in one God, don't believe in Trinity. So the key word is Trinity, basically.
I think Roman Catholic is a close Trinity.
Trinity is to divide God into three, which is Son, Father, Holy Spirit. And in reality, the Son is a man, which is a human. God, the Father, is God. And the Holy Spirit is Angel Jibril. So, man, angel, God. It was combined all together by the Christian, by our fellow Christians, to make them one. Go ahead.
What's the difference between Catholic and Christian?
Catholic and Protestant? The Protestant, the Catholic has 7 more books in their Bible, more than the Protestant. And the Catholics are followers of a pope. The Protestant, they don't have a pope per se. They have leaders, yeah, but it's not like a pope. And that's it, I think. So, I think the circle here.
Alrighty.
God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. And then the Son is the man, the Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit is an angel, and the Son is a man. And the God is and the Father is God.
Okay.
That's from an Islamic perspective. So this is Trinity from an Islamic perspective, which is what Christians call the Father, it is God. What Christians say is the Son is a man. What Christians call the Holy Spirit is Angel Jibril. Do you understand that? That's from an Islamic perspective. From a Christian perspective, they are 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. So it's division of God into 3. And God is not dividable. No, they believe in Trinity. And yes, believe in Trinity. However, there is Protestant mean coming from the word protest. Protest, like, you understand what protest is?
Yeah.
Which is what?
Rebelling.
Rebelling, exactly. So the Protestant rebelled against Catholics. They took away 7 books from their from the Catholic Bible, and they created the Christian Bible, the Protestant Bible, okay? And there are so many other differences, but I'm highlighting the most important differences. And there was also a struggle between the Christians about the nature of Jesus, alayhi salam. Some say that Jesus, alayhi salam, on earth, was human was in the skin of a human, as a god in the skin of humans, in the skin of a human. Others say, no, he was a god. He was God. The one opinion say is that being God is infinity. So when you add the God, Jesus, to the infinity, Jesus will not exist. The others say, no, he was coming into his, by himself. So he still exists as Jesus. Okay. So the way we pray has to be a way prescribed by the prophet. Now, how about praying into the masjid, or praying into the park with your shoes on? Is that legal?
Yes.
Yes. How about if you take off your shoes? Is that legal?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it both ways. When they were in carpet, yeah, there was one, this guy who is like, understands Islam in a wrong way, who gave a lecture after the prayer that we should not take off our clothes when we walk into the masjid. Because the sunnah of the Prophet and the companions, he said we shouldn't. No, shoes. Shoes. And then we have to keep our shoes in when we walk into the masjid. And after he gave the lecture, people said, oh, you want us to go with shoes in the masjid to make the masjid dirty? And they really fought with him. He's wrong. He's wrong. Because that depends on the condition of the ground. The companions used to pray in a ground, in the ground full of stone, like small stones, little stones, gravel, what they call?
Pebbles,
yeah. So they would keep their shoes on. But if they, when they have carpets, they would take off their shoes. Okay? Also, there are 10 ways to read Quran. How many ways to read Quran?
I thought it was
7. 7 major, 3 minor.
Wait, 7 major what?
7 major ways to read Quran, and how many minor?
3.
3 minor. 7 major and 3 minor. The Prophet read Quran in all these ways, all of them. Why? To cover the accents of all the Arabian tribes. So the reading, famous reading that we all read, okay, is Hafs, which was the accent of the people in Mecca, accent of Quraysh. Quraysh, you know what Quraysh is?
It's a tribe.
The Prophet's tribe. And the word of Quraysh means aggregated. You know why they were called aggregated Quraysh? Because they had many clans. They basically many clans into one body. Usually it is only one clan in one tribe, another clan from another tribe. That used to be like that. Okay. But Quraysh is an aggregated, and it's the name of the place where we have the haram.
Oh.
And the name of the people of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tribe, or like the aggregated tribes that came out, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out from. Got it? So, why is so famous? The Ottoman Empire decided to adopt this reading and send the Quran, making with tashkil. Tashkil, based on the reading of Quraysh, the accent of Quraysh. However, the other 9 readings, or the other 6 major readings, are also valid ways of reading. I'll give you an example. In Surah Al-Fatiha, How do you say Malik Yawmiddin? Do you say it Malik Yawmiddin or Malik Yawmiddin? Maliki, huh? Maliki, Maliki, Maliki. And I say Maliki too, because we are following the reading of Hafs, narration of Hafs. Narration of Hafs is, as I said, it's the accent of Quraysh. That's why the Ottoman Empire adopted that. But still, some people read with a different way. Didn't adopt Hafs. They already had a reading before the Ottoman Empire sends the Mus'haf and the using the ways of Hafs reading, based on Hafs reading. For example, in Libya, people read with a reading called Qalun. What's the name of the people reading? Qalun. Okay. Qalun, I'll give you an example of a difference between Qalun, two examples. Qalun says what? Malik Yawmiddin. They don't say Malik Yawmiddin. So if you pray behind an imam, okay, who reads with a different reading, don't correct the imam unless you know that this way of reading is not acceptable to the way he reads. Like, if I read Hafs every prayer, and then I come say Malik Yawmiddin, then that's wrong. Why? Because Malik Yawmiddin is not for Hafs reading. I have to be consistent on the way I read Quran. I can't keep in the same rak'ah. I can't keep switching back and forth. Another difference, that who memorized Surah Al-Shamsi wa Duhaha? Okay. Say the last ayah. فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. Okay, people who memorize Surah Al-Shams, do they agree? ولا يخاف عقباها. Right? Right? What's your name? The one behind you? Maha. So they read it. They read it. ولا يخاف عقباها. قالون, ways of reading, it says فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. See now? فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. قَالُون reading, which is in Libya. Yes, what Saliha read, she said وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا, which is the way we all memorize, because we all follow the Hafs we reading. If we have here among us a student from Libya, they will object to that and say, no, it's not وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا, it's what? فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. And there's a joke about that. Someone who knows the narration of Hafs was praying behind an imam who reads Qalun. So the imam was reading Surah Al-Shams. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. He said that, and one of the followers said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, corrected him. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Can I have it?
No, it's not mine.
For the class. Just till the end of the class. It's right here.
Okay, you can have it.
Okay, you understand? So the imam says, فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, because the imam was reading the reading of? قَالُون. قَالُون. فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Now, the people who are following the imam, where they learned Hafs reading. So Hafs reading is وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Qalun reading is what? فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا.
Can I please get up?
Huh?
Can I please get up?
Yes. فَلَا يَخَافُ
عُقْبَاهَا. I want to see that the differences between
the similarities between Judaism.
But please focus within here. Don't like disturb the class. So the guy following, he said, "Fala yakhaf, wala yakhaf uqbaha." The imam said, "Fala yakhaf uqbaha." And the guy said, "Wala yakhaf uqbaha." The imam said, "Fala yakhaf uqbaha." So a guy from the audience said, "In another narration, you smart guy, it's another narration." He got out of the prayer to say that. You know, the guys were praying next to each other. So one of them talked in the prayer. So the one on his right said, "Don't talk in the prayer. It nullifies your prayer." Right? So now he also, his prayer is nullified because he talked. So a third guy said, "Huh, both of you are stupid. Both of you, prayer is nullified." And he's the biggest stupid guy because he also lost his So he said, in another narration, "Ya Akhi, my smart brother," it's in another narration. Okay? Also, a riwayat, for example, another example is, yes, Qalun doesn't say, "Ya Ayyuhan Nabi." It says, "Ya Ayyuhan Nabi." "Ya Ayyuhan Nabi Ulima Tuharim," for example. We all here are following Hafs reading. Okay? So we read, we say, "Ya Ayyuha An Nabi." Right? In the Tashahud, we say, "Salamu alayka Ayyuha An Nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Qalun, they say, "Ha? Ya Ayyuha? Ya Ayyuha An Nabi." "Ya Ayyuha An Nabi." Okay? That's another difference. So now you understand there is also, okay. So we cannot add or delete from the way we worship Allah. You know how did Jibreel show Prophet Muhammad the window of time? Okay. He came to Prophet Muhammad and ordered him to pray at certain times, 5 prayers at certain times. So let's say the Prophet, when he came, let's say he read, he started Fajr at 5, Dhuhr at 12, Asr is 4, Maghrib is 6, Isha is 8. Okay? Listen to that. Then the next day he came and he prayed Fajr at 7, Dhuhr is at 3, at 4. Okay? Asr at 6, this is 3:45. Asr is 5:45. Isha is midnight. And he said to the Prophet, "This is when the window starts, and this is when the window ends." And he told him to teach the Muslims. So one day he prayed at the beginning of the window. The second day he prayed at the end of the window, and he said, Jibreel told him, "These are the range for your followers to pray. This is the beginning and this is the end." You got that part right? Okay. So, also, so if you do something different, then you're different. I will share with you something also about the Sufi, about the goofy Sufi, just quickly. You know that there is 2 kinds of knowledge that we studied last time. There are the divine knowledge and the knowledge of Sharia, the knowledge of Sharia. And we know that the divine knowledge is superior. So now the goofy Sufis get stuck on this concept in the Quran. And they say, there are people among us who are this guy, who are like this guy, in charge of bringing the mercy of Allah down. So the reply to them is that if you know him, then he's not. because nobody's supposed to know about this person. So if you know, supposed to know that this person is a divine person. Okay. So the sheikhs of them, they make themselves like the people with divine knowledge, and then they ask the followers to follow them. And they make a lot of introductions to Islam, a lot of innovations. Like, for example, some of them will quit praying. So you ask him, why or her, why did you quit praying? They say, the Quran says, worship Allah until the certain thing comes. So Allah said certain thing describing death. So he said, worship Allah until death. They say, no, worship Allah until the sure thing comes to your heart. Okay? Means that until you feel that you are close enough to Allah, that it doesn't matter if you pray or not pray. See another innovation. When we debate with them, we tell them, did the Prophet stop praying?
No.
No. They say, okay, yes, because the Prophet wanted to teach the people. Then we say, and you are people, right? So the way the Prophet did it is the way of the people, including you, can do it. Okay? So that's the quit. And tomorrow, inshallah, so the next week, we're going to talk about how the bid'ah destroyed the Muslim ummah. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.